So I say this to the militias and all others who believe that the greatest threat to freedom comes from the government instead of from those who would take away our freedom. If you say the government is in a conspiracy to take your freedom away, there is no freedom.
They'll never take our freedom!
There are too many guns on the street. We lose 93 million Americans a day to gun violence.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Freedom Rings. This is Tommy Freedom reaching you loud and clear on the alt-right frontier. I'll be your voice of reason for the next 30 minutes, so keep it right here. You are tuned in on the TFR Radio Network, broadcasting to you from a log cabin in a secret mountaintop location somewhere in Appalachia on White America Radio. Hey everybody, and welcome back to Freedom Rings. This is Tommy Freedom, and folks, I got a full plate today. Got a lot of things I want to talk about. Some are a little humorous, and some are a little more solemn. But I got quite a variety of things, including White History Month. Brother Mike up in New York sent me down a list of items for the month of September. And I honestly don't know if I can fit it all into the show today. We'll have to see how it goes. If it looks like everything other than White History Month is going to go past the 30-minute mark, then I'll go ahead and add the White History and make this a one-hour show. Otherwise, I'll split it into two separate shows. I'll do White History next week. But we'll just have to see how it goes. I really don't know. Sometimes I get a little sidetracked, or I go a little bit longer on some information, and just really, really never know how these things are going to end out. But some of the things I want to talk to you about, of course, obviously, is the whole debacle with Christine Blasphemy Ford and Brett Kavanaugh. Also want to talk to you about a very, very sad story that occurred not too far away from where I live here in North Carolina about a missing boy. And it made national news, it even made international news. I do know that it was in the Paris newspaper. So a lot of people were watching the story, had a very, very sad ending. And I want to go over that with you about how this could and should have been avoided. Also have a little bit of humor that I want to deal with. So I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to start with the humorous stuff and then work my way into the more serious items. So the first thing that I want to talk to you about this week, folks, is dealing with scams. Now, we've all had someone call us on our cell phone or send us emails or friend us on Facebook trying to get us to fall for these scams. You know, we're the IRS, send us money, this, that, and the other thing. Well, recently, there have been scams going on via social media where you think that you're a friend of a celebrity, and it turns out the celebrity starts chatting with you, and then all of a sudden they hit you up for money. And people have been gullible enough to send these so-called celebrities money. And what brought this up was, I think it was last year, Charlie Daniels actually went out on social media and said, if I contact you asking for money, it's not me. Don't send money. And we've seen other scams more recently. Somebody posing as Bruce Springsteen. The list goes on and on and on. So I want to play something for you. It's off of another show. And yes, I did call in. So I am one of these three people who has called in impersonating a celebrity begging for money. Now, normally what I would do is I would simply play my clip where I call in. But I'm going to run all three of these because this whole thing is absolutely hilarious. For one goes to another, it just gets funnier and funnier and funnier. So this is how we're going to start the show out, with some humor, and like I said, we're going to work our way out from there. But I think you'll appreciate this.
We do have a new batch of Fun with Football audio that we're going to get to here in a little bit. A second ago, Woody was talking to us about what I'm going to call a phenomenon. I don't think there's any other way to put it in my mind, about people apparently being fooled by celebrities asking for money. And the examples that you gave were some woman who had been tricked into giving who she thought was Bruce Springsteen $11,000 in iTunes gift cards. She had befriended him via his fan page. He started sending her messages, and she believed that she was chatting with the real Bruce Springsteen and that he was going through tough times and needed 11 grand in iTunes gift cards. And she, over the course of time, sent it to him. Then you had the story about the woman doing the same thing, basically, with somebody who she thought was Kenny Chesney. And we had heard in the past about Charlie Daniels of the Charlie Daniels Band urging people not to believe the imposters who were saying that they were Charlie Daniels and asking for money, and people apparently falling for it left and right. Thanks to those of you that have rung in on the voicemail of the Woody and Wilcox Show.
Yeah, hi, this message is for Chelsea. This is Ted Danson, your favorite TV star from the show Becker. I hear you're a big fan of mine. I hear about it on the radio. You know, very glad and proud to call you a big fan. We should grab a beer sometime, something, you know, hang out. I think that'd be fun. Also, a quick random question. I've come upon some hard times. You know, Becker's just not quite paying out as much as they used to. I was wondering if you could help me out, maybe buy me a couple of Target gift cards or something like that.
Wow. So Ted Danson apparently has hit on hard times, which
by the way, he's
shocking.
On The Good Place.
Yeah.
Just started its second season. If you're not watching that, it's fantastic.
704-FEZ-3200.
This is Jimmy Dean. I got behind on the mortgage payment, and I was wondering if maybe you could send me $4,000 or $5,000 in iTunes gift cards. Please, Papa Sausage.
Jimmy Dean called in apparently as well.
Who's that? Sarah Lee? Like, what's happening?
No, not Sarah Lee, Chels.
This is Andrea Mitchell. I'm stuck out here in Raleigh, and I was looking to get some money. If you could just send it over to me, please, that'd be great. I'm short about $500. Thank you.
By the way, none of those are the same person. Just FYI.
Now, normally, folks, I don't run that much from somebody else's show, but that was just the funniest montage I have heard in a long time. And yeah, one of those was mine.
Please buy my sausage.
While the air is light, I'm going to go ahead and run one more clip from these guys, something I called in a couple weeks ago. And somehow or another, it involves an octopus and Chewbacca.
So if you're just joining us, pat yourself on the back. You did miss out on a Science Minute moments ago. And thanks to Alex, who rang in on the Woody and Wilcox Facebook page, and this will give you some indication. I quote, "I'd rather listen to a fart through a walkie-talkie than ever listen to Woody try to talk about science again." Alex, from your lips to God's ears, I think you're speaking for America on that one. And those of you that don't believe it, you can grab it on the podcast later on today and listen to Woody talking about how science determined that if you give ecstasy to an octopus, it will forego a fake Chewbacca and enjoy the company of another octopus. That was generally what you missed, if you missed that. Right. Exactly. Speaking of that, we got this on our Fez line related to the Science Minute.
This is Chewbacca, and I am very upset that the octopus chose the other octopus over me. Oh, oh, so upset.
See, not only was the Science Minute subpar, but this is what it leads to.
You see, folks, this is what happens when you get very bored driving around for hours on end and pull over to the side of the road and call in. Okay, so here is where we are going to begin the segue from lighthearted matters into those that are more serious and even solemn. there was an episode sometime back where a call was made to 911 at a Subway restaurant, and it involved a meatball sub. And when the reporter showed up, she just started laying the puns out. And I want you to listen to this, because she was pretty clever. She did a pretty good job.
Where's your emergency? I don't know. We have customers giving problems to our store.
No, you gave me the problem.
In the background of that 911 call, you can hear 37-year-old Tamika Rudd going ballistic over a meatball sandwich she got at this Southport Subway. It was a call that surprised even seasoned police.
She went ballistic over a meatball sub and seasoned police. So that was pretty clever. I'm sure there were more that could have been laid out had she thought about them, you know, but honestly, I think the whole thing was kind of cheesy. But the reason I'm running this for you is because I was listening to this while I was on the road, and it just got me in the hankering for a meatball sub from Subway. So I took a road where I figured there might be one, and sure enough, I did find a Subway. So I stopped in, walked in the door, of course, had to wash my hands first, and there was a very attractive white woman down by the cash register, said hello, good morning, went and washed my hands and came back out, and folks, this entire establishment was staffed by white women. When was the last time that you went into any business that was staffed entirely by white people? Much less a Subway. I mean, Subways now, they're all mostly run by Indians or Mexicans, people who can't understand your order. In fact, the last time I ordered a meatball sub, I refused to take it because I don't like marinara sauce. Tomato sauce chaps my upper lip, and the stuff leaks out and gets all over my hands. It's really messy. So I went to this one, and there's an Indian behind the counter, and I said, as little sauce as possible. Okay. So she ladles this thing and it's like that, just full of sauce in the meatballs. I said, as little sauce as possible. She said, okay. Takes the ladle, puts it in the marinara sauce, and goes for the sandwich. I said, stop. I said, as little sauce as possible. You've put too much on there already. She said, that's not too much. I said, yes, it is. I said, no sauce, as little sauce as possible, and you've got this thing drenched. Keep it. I turned around and walked out the door. And I relayed this to the woman who's behind the counter who's making this thing for me the other day. And she laughed. She thought that was funny. But folks, I'm not going to give you the exact location. I will say it's somewhere in Mooresville, North Carolina. There is a Subway sandwich shop that is staffed entirely by white women. And attractive white women, I might ask. Very, very refreshing. I think I'll be blowing off Bojangles in the morning from here on out when I go by there and stopping in and getting me a sandwich from Subway instead. Now, you see how I very cleverly started out with something humorous and slowly turned it into something serious? By the way, it's abundantly obvious this is going to be a one-hour show. So now I want to talk to you about a story that's very heartbreaking, it's very somber. And this has nothing to do with Kavanaugh and Ford. But this has to do with a local story here to the Carolinas. And folks, I'm sure that you have heard the story about the little autistic boy who was lost in a park near a lake. It happened last week. Apparently, he was with his father and some friends of his father's. And a jogger ran by, and this kid liked to run, so he took off after the jogger. His father was diabetic and had problems with his feet. He wasn't able to keep up, and his son disappeared. So he went and got some park rangers, and they searched for an hour, could not locate the child, so 911 was called. And this has been a huge thing ever since. I know it's made national news, and I know, like I said earlier, that it was reported in a French newspaper. So this whole story was known all over the world, just like a couple months ago with those kids that were trapped in the caves. This story somehow or another captured the attention of the entire world. Now, people were hoping the kid was okay, and it's this time of year when somebody disappears like that, when it's really hot or it's really cold, you know there's no chance. It's not going to have a good ending. But everybody was holding out hope that they would find this kid alive somewhere. And that was not the case. They located him the other day in a creek in about 2 to 3 feet of water. And that's exactly where I expected that they would find him. I initially thought that they would find him in the lake that was close by to where he disappeared. But they ended up finding him approximately a mile away in this creek. Now, the odd thing is that when drones with cameras on went over this creek earlier, they did not see him. And when searchers came back, they happened to find him in that area, which means that he may have only succumbed very soon before they found him. But I always felt that he was, number one, not abducted. Number two, I did not believe his father was involved where he had killed him and was making up a ruse, because there were witnesses that were there who saw this happen. But this kid was autistic, and severely autistic, to the point of where he could not speak and would not speak. So even if searchers had been within 30 feet of him calling his name, like a cat, he wouldn't answer. With that kind of a mental attitude, or ineptness, which is probably a better description, I figured that he would get hungry and thirsty, and that he would head for a water source, and that he might fall in. And not being able to even speak, he certainly could not swim. So I'm going to go out on a limb here before the medical examiner releases his report and say the cause of death was drowning, accidental drowning. And I'm going to say that it happened because once he got to running away, trying to follow this jogger, he got lost and started wandering aimlessly and became very, very thirsty, leaned over the edge of the bank for a drink, fell in, and was unable to get out. That's what I'm going to postulate happened. I could be wrong, and if I am, I will certainly come back on here next week or the week after, whenever this report is released, and say that I made a mistake, and we'll combine my thoughts with what they determine actually happened. But what makes this even more of a tragedy is that it need not have happened. Years and years ago, somebody like this would have been in an institution. But over the years, in an effort to cut costs, people who really belong, committed, have been released. And we have seen this happen time and time again with crimes being committed. Now, this was not a crime, but this kid should never have been out in public to begin with. If he were in public, he should have had a harness on him with a leash. Now, I'm sure you have at some point in time seen somebody walking their kid on a leash. And this is what it's for. These are hyperactive kids that are liable to dart out into traffic. You rein them in. This kid should have been on a leash, number one. Number two, he should not have been in public to begin with. Somebody like this who has an IQ of 27 to 35 has no business interacting with the public. They are incapable of interacting with the public. And I know there's going to be some of you that say, no, you're wrong, give them a chance. But I have to disagree. These people will never assimilate into our society. They are incapable of doing so. And when his parents die, he would be committed anyway. He would be unable to care for himself. There are so many people now who are autistic that they have projected in the next, I think it was 30 years or so, that the majority of people in this country are going to be autistic. Who in the hell is going to care for them? It will take every sane person or unaffected person to care for them, to simply care for them. That means nobody left to work in restaurants, nobody to cut your grass, nobody to build your homes, nobody to fix your power. This is a serious problem, folks. It's something that needs to be addressed. Now, we all know that there is an underlying reason for all of this, and it's population control. But in the meantime, we need to put a curb on it. We need to do something about these people and keep them out of the public. Now, as cruel as this is going to sound, and I don't mean it to sound this way, but what we witnessed here was a little chlorine in the gene pool. It's a very tragic story. But nature removed something that did not belong there. Gotta take a break. I'll be back in a couple minutes, folks.
Are you going to let that happen? Don't leave the mess for your children to clean up. Join the struggle. Start here at KKK Radio.
Minorities, homosexuals, and women. I'm not a hater, but I hate that line.
Me too. You know, you see it written like that in the media.
Yes, I've noticed that. Why do you think that is? I don't have anything in common with so-called minorities.
Minorities, right. White people are the world's minority.
That's true.
I think they like to group all women together so white women won't consider their race. If they don't consider their white identity, they won't recognize the threats against it.
That's a really good point.
So, whenever I hear the phrase minorities and women, or minorities, homosexuals and women, I'll call it what it is, cheap shots against white women.
This message brought to you by the White Women's Perspective.
College students, high school students, business owners, entrepreneurs, learn how you can be a person of influence for a new America. Enroll in Soldiers of the Cross Training Institute. Learn more at www.sotctraininginstitute.com.
Hey folks, Tommy Freedom here for Freedom Rings. I invite you to tune in every week and listen to my show, Freedom Rings, and hear what I, Tommy Freedom, have to say. It's usually pretty interesting and quite informative. It may have something to do with freedom. It may have something to do with liberty. It may be downright funny, but it will always be informative. So be sure and tune in each week to listen to me, Tommy Freedom, here on my show at Freedom Rings, broadcasting to you loud and clear on KKK Radio. Okay, so I think what I'm going to do is, instead of jumping into the whole Kavanaugh thing, first of all, I'm going to go over October White History Month, because there's not as many this week as there typically are, or this month, I should say, as there usually are. So I'm going to go ahead and get that out of the way, see where I am, then go ahead and get into the Brett Kavanaugh debacle, and see if there's time to maybe cover some other topics as well. So let's start out on October the 5th in 1863. The Confederate state ship, CSS David, successfully launched a torpedo attack on the USS New Ironsides outside Charleston Harbor in South Carolina. On October the 6th, 1683, William Penn brought 13 German families to the colony of Pennsylvania, the first Germans to colonize America. On October the 8th, in 1480, great standing on the Yuga River, Grand Duke Ivan III of Russia defeated the forces of Achmet Khan, Khan of the Great Horde. October the 8th, 1604, German astronomer Johannes Kepler was the first to observe a supernova in 1604. And now he has a very famous telescope named after him. On October the 8th, 1917, the English biochemist Rodney Robert Porter was born in Lancashire. He was the winner of the 1972 Nobel Prize for Medicine or Physiology. Well, which is it? I think that should be and. That's what I get once again for not going over and look at these things ahead of time. October 9th, 1003, Norse explorer Leif Erikson landed in L'Anse-aux-Meadows, Canada, becoming the first known European to reach North America. October 9th, 1938, Bell Labs demonstrated a radio altimeter, which is a device giving the height of an aircraft by bouncing radio signals off the ground. Prior to that, they used a pressure in there, almost like a barometer. So the higher you went, the less air pressure there was, and it gave you a reading that way. Unfortunately, it is also affected by barometric pressure. October the 13th, 1864, Confederate Colonel John S. Mosby robbed a train near Harper's Ferry, West Virginia. Colonel Mosby became known as the Gray Ghost for his many successful lightning-quick raids and disruption of Union supply lines. Well, good for him. On October, here's one that's not in here. On October the 14th, 1968, white nationalist actor and author D.A. Hanks was born in New Haven, Connecticut. He has gone on to write such classics as Patriot Act, a novel of resistance, The Green Day Prophecies, as well as starring in several movies and television shows. On October the 14th, 2014, Cody A. Friesen founded Zero Mass Water. The company designed Source, a hydro panel, that meets the drinking water needs of more than 7 billion people on Earth. Applying thermodynamics, materials science, and controls technology, Source needs only sunlight and air to make drinking water each day at homes, schools, offices, and more. Wow, I'm going to have to look that up. It's got a link here. www.zeromasswater.com/source/. Definitely got to look that up. Sounds really interesting. On October the 16th, 1908, American aviation pioneer Samuel Cody made the first powered airplane flight in England. On October 16th, 1846, American dentist William Morton made the first public demonstration of the administration of ether anesthetic. Jeez, I gotta clean these glasses here. On October the 18th, 1862, the Union garrison captured at Lexington, Kentucky by Confederate General John Hunt Morgan. This became known as Morgan's Raid. On October the 22nd, 1797, French inventor André-Jacques Guérin carried out the first parachute jump from a hot air balloon at an altitude of 3,000 feet. October 22nd, 1883, the Metropolitan Opera House in New York City was first opened, with a performance of Gounod's Faust. October 22nd. 1879, Thomas Edison tested the first practical electric incandescent light bulb. It lasted 13 and a half hours before burning out. October 23rd, 1970, Gary Gabelick set the land speed record in Bonneville Salt Flats in Utah, driving a rocket-powered car called the Blue Flame. His speed record of 630.388 miles per hour lasted until 1997, and it's been blown away several times since then. They're trying to cross the 1,000 mile per hour threshold, and they're not too far away if they haven't already crossed it. If you've never been out to the Bonneville Salt Flats, folks, it's a very drab and boring place. You take Interstate 80 out of Salt Lake City and you head west. Now, this is the only place in the country that I know of where the interstate does not curve every 3 miles. See, every 3 miles, the road has to have a straight shot of 1 mile for emergency aircraft landing, and then the rest of it twists and turns, and it's to keep you from falling asleep. But for 60 miles, once you get outside of Salt Lake City, all the way over to Wendover, it's perfectly straight. You're looking at the mountains in front of you. You're looking at the mountains in your rearview mirror. There's absolutely nothing on either side of you. And the only thing that shows that you're moving are the dotted lines. And it's very easy to get hypnotized by that and fall asleep. What they call white line fever. It's a very, very boring ride. Once you get out to Bonneville Salt Flats, you can get out and walk around on the interstate. There's a rest area there. And it's got the information that I just read to you there. Of course, it goes into much more detail. They used Goodyear tires. I don't remember what all else is on there. And you can walk out on salt flats. And there is a basin there to rinse your shoes off when you come back. Now, I did that, and still within 2 weeks, I had holes in the soles of my sneakers. The salt is that acidic. But I then went out, got off at the exit, and went out into the flats on the road with the cul-de-sac where they have everything set up, which is like ground zero when they do the racing out there. Very, very interesting. You recognize it from TV as soon as you're there. Now, I was out there in November, so I was the only one that was out there. And I had gotten stuck in a dry lake that wasn't dry the previous day, so I didn't dare drive out on the salt. Stayed on the asphalt, learned my lesson. And if I've never told you the story, folks, I was in southern Utah, and I was driving up, just taking back roads, and then I got out into the actual desert on the dirt roads. And a couple times in arroyos hit sand, and you could hear that the truck bouncing. I was almost stuck. And if that had happened there, I mean, I was like 20 miles from the nearest paved road, you know, 100 miles from the nearest town. So I got all the way to the end, back out to the main road, and then I saw a road that went down to this lake, a dry lake called Sevier Lake. I decided I wanted to drive out on a dry lake, something I'd always wanted to do. So I get down there. I'm not paying attention to the fact that it has been raining all afternoon. I saw the dry lake, headed for it. About that time, too late, I saw where somebody else had driven in there and gotten stuck. So instead of slamming on the brakes, and probably could have made it, I decided to gun it and go and try and make a turn and come back. Nah, that didn't work. That pickup truck sank right in up to the axles. So it's not too far from getting dark. I'm a mile from the road, jogged out to the road, and the road was perfectly straight in either direction. It took 10 minutes for headlights when they first came into view to get up to me, and nobody would stop. Finally, one guy in a sports car stopped. He said, well, I can't pull you out. He said, I can take you to town. I said, nah, somebody will be able to stop and help me out here. So finally, this guy in a Ford pickup stopped. He had wife and son in there, and I told him what had happened. And he believed me. Apparently, they'd had a rash of incidents out there where somebody would feign that they were broken down, and then somebody else would jump up from the gully and rob them. But he believed me. He drove down, and there's my truck mired out there. He had a tow chain, and I had a tow chain. And for some reason, I had a shovel in the back of the truck. So we hooked our two chains together, and I took the shovel and I dug out from behind the tires, and he dragged me a couple feet, dug it out, dragged me a few more feet, and after about 30 minutes, he got me out of there. I was very, very thankful. But that was my payback. It's called karma, for stopping and helping people alongside the road whenever I would see them there. So it was 45 miles to the nearest town. It was called Delta, Utah. 45 miles from the nearest town. Folks, that was the middle of nowhere. And that was the last time I've ever driven off-road in something that was not four-wheel drive. I did learn my lesson. So getting on here, on October 27th, 939, Edmund I became King of England, known as the Elder, the Deed-Doer, the Just, and the Magnificent. Well, that's several nicknames. October the 27th, 1275, is the traditional date celebrated for the founding of Amsterdam. October the 27th, 1904, the first underground New York City subway line opened at the now-closed City Hall Station under City Hall Park. The fare was 5 cents and carried over 150,000 people on the subway's first day of operation. Now, folks, this is closed. It's abandoned. But if you go on YouTube and you type up abandoned, you will find a bunch of videos that come up, and that is one of them. Very interesting to see exactly what was under there. On October 27, 2000, English professional cyclist Chris Boardman broke the UCI hour record, riding 30.72 miles in 1 hour. Well, that is hauling. 31 miles an hour consistently. Wow. And finally, on October 31st, Halloween, 1861, secessionist Missouri legislators met at Neosho, Missouri, to vote to leave the Union. So that is White History Month for October. Hope you learned something. I know I certainly did. I learned that I need to keep my glasses cleaner. No, George, I don't need you to lick them. Actually, I shouldn't have put a beat in there, because while I'm still on the topic of time and dates, folks, can you believe it has been 40 years since WKRP in Cincinnati debuted in 1968? 40 years. It's hard to believe that much time has actually gone by, but it has. Now, most of the stars that were on there really never did anything else. I mean, they did bit parts here and there, Of course, the most well-known was Lonnie Anderson playing Jennifer. And a little bit of trivia on this, folks. Obviously, she's not a natural blonde. She had very dark, almost black hair. And the night before, she decided to lighten her hair a little bit for the audition to have a better chance to compete with, like, the likes of Farrah Fawcett and the other sirens at the time that were all blonde. And she accidentally bleached her hair instead. So she went to the audition and got the part. And now she is famous for that bleach blonde hair that up until then she did not have. That's some useless trivia for you. Now, the opening scene in the opening credits of WKRP was filmed crossing the Ohio River on Interstate 64. And if you've ever been across there, as soon as you see it, you recognize it. And that theme immediately starts going through your head. But I found something here I'm going to share with you folks. It's going to sound familiar at first, although slightly different. You're going to recognize it. I'll bet you didn't know that the theme from WKRP in Cincinnati was actually a full-length song. What they played in the opening credits was just the very end of the song. I'm going to go ahead and play the full-length version for you. I think you'll enjoy it. Bring back some memories anyway.
Baby, if you've ever wondered whatever became of me, I'm living on the air in Cincinnati, Cincinnati WKRP. Got kinda tired of packing and unpacking, town to town, up and down the dial. Maybe you and me were never meant to be, just maybe think of me once in a while. Up that highway, leaving you behind, hardest thing I ever had to do. Broke my heart in two, but baby, pay no mind. The price for finding me was losing you. Memories help me hide my lonesome feeling, far away from you and feeling low. It's getting late, my friend, my love, I miss you so. Good care of you, I've gotta go. WKRP. Got kinda tired of packing and unpacking, town to town, up and down the dial. Maybe you and me were never meant to be, just maybe think of me once in a while. I'm at WKRP in Cincinnati.
Now see, I'm willing to bet you've never heard that before and had no idea that a full-length version of that song actually existed. That was, by the way, Steve Carlisle, if you want to look it up on YouTube and listen to it again. Steve Carlisle. I wonder if he's any relation to Belinda Carlisle. It's kind of a common last name. I was actually engaged to Belinda Carlisle's cousin back in 2004. Unfortunately, it did not work out, but to this day, every time I hear Belinda Carlisle on the radio, I hear my ex-fiancé because they sound almost identical. You can tell that they're related. They sound like sisters. They don't look a thing alike, but when they're singing, they sound identical. It's like listening to the Mandrell sisters singing. They're that close. Now, got a few minutes here I'm going to take a break very, very shortly here. But before I do, on the WKRP theme here, of course, there was the opening credits, but there was the closing credits, which has a song that nobody knows where it came from, who did it. The lyrics are unintelligible, but everybody seemed to love that song for some reason. Well, folks, I'm going to play it for you. You try and see if you can understand what the guy is saying, and then I will actually read you the lyrics. And it's not going to be what you thought it was. So what do you think, folks? Could you understand what he was saying? Because I couldn't. You hear one thing, and then you hear something else. And a couple times over the years, people have called in to local radio stations here in California and requested that be played, and then to find out what the lyrics were. Now, of course, this was a long time before the internet, where you could look these things up, and nobody ever had the answer. Well, my friends, I have the answer for you. And I am going to read those lyrics for you. I'm not going to play them along with the song. In other words, I'm not going to read them as it's being sung. I'm just going to read them to you, and you can fit them in where you need to. But I'll guarantee you, it's not what you thought you may have heard. Head to the bartender. What you gonna have? Give to the boys in a pocketball bet. Uh-huh. I said, good night, bartender. I'd better and head out. I said, I wouldn't do it if you poured another beer, uh-huh. Now, aside from the uh-huh, I'm willing to bet you couldn't understand a word that was in there. And if you find this thing online and listen to the lyrics and get the legitimate one, not about the one saying a bear hello, but the genuine lyrics, you'll be amazed, because if you listen, you can hear it, but it's just amazing. That whole closing theme is about drinking at a bar. Never, ever guessed. Well, folks, I'm coming up at a point here where I have to take another short break. When I come back, I'm going to delve into this whole issue with Brett Kavanaugh and Christine Blasphemy Ford and what's going on with that. And really, whether charges should be brought against these people for what they're doing, because this is undoubtedly an attempted a coup to defeat the nomination of Brett Kavanaugh until after the elections, when they think, and I say think, I emphasize think, that they're going to retake the Senate, which ain't gonna happen. We'll be back in a couple of minutes, folks. Stick around.
30 years from now, my kids will be outnumbered. Are you going to let that happen? Don't leave the mess for your children to clean up. Join the struggle. Start here at KKK Radio.
Hello, this is Attorney Jason Robb. Have you ever thought of remembering the nights of the Ku Klux Klan, your will or trust? We are deeply appreciative of the help and support our friends have given to this important work over the years. The support towards this holy mission of bringing a message of hope and deliverance to our people must continue even after you are gone. Our race, faith, and nation are worth every sacrifice we can make. We must continue the struggle until America has been delivered from the vice of death. Our children are depending on it. Email me at jasonrobb@windstream.net. And I will help you to continue your fight for our future upon your death.
Georgetown law professor Louis Michael Seidman says that the U.S. Constitution is archaic and downright evil. and people like this are teaching in America's law schools? It's frightening. Well, here's your chance to listen to one attorney who stands on principle and fights for the dreams of freedom-loving Americans. Listen to Jason Robb, host of Cross Examine, each week right here on KKK Radio.
Hey folks, Tommy Freedom here for Freedom Rings. I invite you to tune in every week and listen to my show, Freedom Rings, and hear what I, Tommy Freedom, have to say. It's usually pretty interesting and quite informative. It may have something to do with freedom, it may have something to do with liberty, it may be downright funny, but it will always be informative. So be sure and tune in each week to listen to me, Tommy Freedom, here on my show at Freedom Rings, broadcasting to you loud and clear on KKK Radio. See, folks, that last segment just goes to show that you never know what you're going to encounter when you tune into this show. Sometimes I don't always know. It just hits me along the way. That's why this is a variety show, and that's what makes it so more interesting. It's not the same thing every week where you know that you're going to be talking about hunting or prepping or politics only. You just, honest to God, never know what's going to come out of this mouth of mine. Of course, I never really know what's going on inside of my head anyway, which makes this show the perfect outlet for whatever is going on in there. But now let's get to this whole thing about the nomination of Brett Kavanaugh and the extreme measures that the left is going through to block this. I mean, they're getting to the point, folks, where they're getting dangerously close to crossing the line. Now, they think they're trying to pull what the Republicans pulled off for the 2016 elections, but that was a presidential election year. It was not a midterm election year. But keep in mind that I believe it was Joe Biden that started this whole thing. And now they don't like the fact that we're using it against them. So now they're trying to use it back against us. Well, it's not going to work. I'm going to tell you why it's not going to work. Because the American public is beginning to see through this whole charade. They're beginning to see these people for who and what they are and what they're trying to do. And that's a desperate attempt to remain in power. And they are circumventing the Constitution in the process. And folks, once this is all over and done with, and the midterms are by, once they're passed, once they're over and done with, I do think you are going to see Trump start to clean house. Now, yes, Hillary Clinton said this a couple of weeks ago, but I really think that she was actually correct about that. I think once the elections go through, and we do remain in power in both the House and Senate, which I think we will. They think there's going to be this big blue wave. It's going to be more like a red tide, because more Republicans are going to get out to vote for this election to prove their point than ever before. And when this is over and done with, I'm firmly convinced, I will come back and admit that I was wrong if it does not happen, but I am firmly convinced that we will retain both the House and the Senate. And at that point, Trump has carte blanche to clean house. He's going to find out who's been doing the leaking. They're going to get fired. I think you're going to start to see charges being brought up. And it would not surprise me one bit if this is when we finally begin to see the charges that are long overdue. And the people that have been orchestrating this whole thing should be charged with sedition. It is a viable charge. Treason, no. But sedition, yes. And that's what needs to happen, my friends. We need to show these people that we have a working constitution that must be followed and obeyed. You cannot disregard the Constitution simply because you don't like it. That's the law of this land. And if you don't like it, then move to Russia, move to China. I'm sure they'd love to have you. And you could find out exactly what happens when your way of thinking is instilled upon you. These morons just can't seem to wrap their heads around the idea that they lost. The American people spoke, and they lost. The best man won, and they don't like it. Well, that's too bad. They have been deliberately led what Rush calls a silent coup. And this is exactly what it is. This is a coup. It's a deliberate attempt to block everything that our president is trying to do. And folks, that's why I'm saying they need to be charged with sedition, because that is exactly what they are doing. And now all of a sudden you have these women coming forward with all this testimony and these accusations against the Honorable Brett Kavanaugh, trying to discredit him and drag his name through the mud. And folks, let me just tell you, even if he comes through this okay, the man's reputation is ruined forever. His life is ruined. Now, I can tell you from personal experience what it's like to have an accusation like that made against you. Now, it was not me doing something to another woman. Well, actually, it was in high school. It was something she said I did. And she later recanted. But the damage had been done. Ended up having to move out of that state and relocate here in North Carolina to start over. Now, at that time, of course, that was before computers. The only reason that we didn't file slander and defamation of character charges against her family was because it would have just been plastered all over the news. And that was the last thing that we wanted. So we just came down here, my dad and myself, we started over, which was the best thing that could have ever happened to me. Folks, I would not be sitting in front of this microphone today if I had not relocated to Charlotte, North Carolina. So in a way, I suppose I do have that biatch to thank for the false accusations she made against me, because it brought me to a place in this country that's loaded with good people, wonderful people, genuine people. Really love it here, will never live anywhere else. Also, I've been ruined in the media for my views on things as a politician, and that follows me everywhere I go. I cannot get a really good white-collar job. As soon as people look me up on the internet, they see all those articles from the newspapers, never hear back. Same thing when I'm on Match.com. Met some really wonderful women. All of a sudden, I never hear from them again. It's because they've looked me up online. Even when I tell them ahead of time what they're going to find and explain to them what happened, most of the time, they don't get back in touch with me. That's just the society that we live in, and that's what Brett Kavanaugh is going to have to deal with for the rest of his life. And that is wrong. That is blatantly wrong. I understand exactly what this man is going through. Now, as to this woman who has made these accusations, she's completely non-credible. She can't remember where it happened, when it happened. Her details are fuzzy. It's just, it's incredible. It's possible something did happen to her. But it was not by Brett Kavanaugh. He has detailed calendars that show he was nowhere in the area at that time. That's number one. Number two, everyone that she says was present is saying, no, we weren't there. He wasn't there. What's wrong with you? This never happened, at least not when we were there. So that leaves a couple of options. The first one that came to mind with me, and of course, I think outside the box, have you ever had a really realistic dream, folks? I mean, one where you woke up and you were convinced it really happened? That, I think, is a very good candidate for what may have happened here. Because she knew these people, she may have had a nightmare, a dream where this happened to her. And in her mind, she somehow put two and two together and came up with 16 and convinced herself that it really happened when it didn't. Alternatively, something may have genuinely happened to her that was someone else. Who knows? Maybe it's a combination of the both. Maybe something happened to her, and then she had this dream, or she had the dream before, and then she put the two together. Who knows? But this event never happened. And this woman is a doctor. She's a professor. And yet she did not know what the word exculpatory meant. Now I picked up on that immediately, just like Rush did. As soon as she said it, I'm like, what, you don't know what exculpatory means? Don't you watch Perry Mason? I mean, my God, folks, it's Latin. You're a doctor. You have to learn basic Latin because everything is based on Latin and science. I had to learn basic Latin to deal with the silviculture, the study of trees. Culp means fault in Latin. In other words, you're culpable, you're at fault. Mea culpa in Latin means my fault, my mistake, I was wrong. And this dippy broad can't even figure that out. Even she never heard the word before. She couldn't figure out exculpatory evidence. It's simple, lady. It means it's evidence that's incorrect. It's false. That means if you're accused of murder because a knife with your fingerprints was found at the scene, but yet you have a video that shows you in a bar 60 miles away drinking with 20 other people 2 hours before and 2 hours afterwards, that's called exculpatory evidence. And this woman didn't know. She acted like she was on drugs. Her eyes were glazed over. At points, she froze up, and her attorneys had to come in and whisper something in her ear so she could continue. This woman is not credible. There is nothing that she has said that can convince me that this is nothing more than a false memory or something that's completely contrived. And folks, on that note, I heard somebody call into the radio the other day with this, and I haven't had the opportunity to look it up. Apparently, Tyler Perry made a movie some years ago starring this black woman who was testifying in court that she went upstairs to use the restroom. She was pushed from behind onto a bed. There were two guys that were pinning her down and taking her clothes off. If I can find this for you, folks, I promise I will play it for you. In the meantime, I encourage you to try and look it up for yourselves as well. Because if that is the case, if that is a real movie, and she has taken this verbatim, open and shut. Well, we'll see what happens with this, folks, as it continues to progress. But I will say this. I think Brett Kavanaugh did an outstanding job of defending himself. And he had the perfect balance between being defensive and being very firm and professional at the same time. He didn't get as defensive as Clarence Thomas, but he let everyone know exactly what he thought. And I think that really weighed with the American public. I really do. Like I said, we'll see how it all plays out. But it's something to keep an eye on. And it chafes me. I'm not going to tell you where it chafes me, but it chafes me that this kind of crap is going on. And I pray that Donald Trump cleans house after we sweep the House and the Senate in November. Well, I am out of time this week, folks. Amazingly, an hour has gone by, and I find myself saying yet again, wow. I don't know where the time went, but it is up. So, as always, if you want to get in touch with me, you may do so by emailing me at TommyFreedomRings@yahoo.com. Till next week, my friends, this has been Tommy Freedom for Freedom Rings. Stay safe, stay happy, and most importantly, stay free. Out for now.
second have I even dwelled on the fact that the show's over. I don't think about it. I try not to think about it, and therefore I, you know, don't.
Why don't you stop talking for a while?
Because it's a very healthy way to deal with something that is ultimately not that important in the long run. It's not important at all.